What if a single treatment could eliminate the need for daily insulin injections for people with type 1 diabetes? For 10 out of 12 patients in a recent clinical trial, that just became a reality. It's one of several breakthroughs this week that prove regenerative medicine is no longer science fiction. It's here, it's approved, and it's being manufactured at industrial scale. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a fundamental shift in medicine and manufacturing. For years, we've talked about the promise of iPSC, or induced pluripotent stem cell therapies. The promise is now a reality. Japan has just granted the world's first regulatory approvals for iPSC products, while in the U.S., manufacturing capacity is quadrupling to meet expected demand. We'll break down the clinical data, the industrial scale-up, and the next-generation delivery technologies that are making it all possible. This isn't just a healthcare story. It's a story about a new industrial revolution.
Let's start with those approvals, Troy. A clinical trial is one thing, but a government saying a product can be sold is a completely different ballgame. What exactly happened in Japan?
It's a landmark moment. In March 2026, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare granted conditional approval to two iPSC-derived therapies. The first is ReHeart from Qualips, a cardiac sheet for severe heart failure. The second is Amshepryn from Sumitomo Pharma, which uses iPSC-derived cells to treat Parkinson's disease. This is the first time any country has given a commercial green light to this technology.
And at the same time, we're seeing incredible data from the U.S. Tell me about the diabetes breakthrough.
That comes from Vertex Pharmaceuticals. Their FORWARD 101 trial for an iPSC-derived cell therapy called Zimacel is stunning. As of June 2025 data, 10 of 12 type 1 diabetes patients achieved insulin independence 365 days after treatment. They are essentially producing their own insulin again. Vertex is now aiming for regulatory submission this year, 2026.
So Japan approves the first products, and the U.S. has a potential functional cure in the pipeline. What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers, not just in pharma, but in the broader tech space?
It means the starting gun has been fired on a new manufacturing sector. This creates immediate demand for high-precision equipment. Think of companies like Poetis in France with their laser-assisted bioprinting systems. Their NGBR lab platform allows for micrometer-scale precision in cell placement, which is critical for creating these complex tissues. For U.S. and European tech firms, the opportunity is in building the picks and shovels for this gold rush, advanced bioreactors, automated cell culture systems, and sophisticated quality control imaging.
And for trading companies and distributors, where do they fit in?
They need to be mapping this new, highly specialized supply chain, sourcing clinical-grade iPSCs, proprietary bioinks, and cell culture media is now a major business. Understanding the different regulatory pathways, Japan's PMDA on one side and the FDA's expedited programs like the RMAT designation on the other, is crucial for market timing. There will be a premium on reliability and quality.
So the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
If you're in life sciences or precision manufacturing, you need to evaluate your iPSC strategy immediately. Are you a potential supplier, partner, or competitor in this space? The time for watching from the sidelines is over. This market is forming right now.
A new market needs an industrial backbone. It's one thing to make a few treatments for a trial, but another to supply a global market. Is the manufacturing capacity really there?
It's being built as we speak, and at a remarkable pace. The key development is from Fujifilm Cellular Dynamics, or FCDI. On May 20th, they inaugurated a massive new iPSC development and manufacturing facility in Madison, Wisconsin. This single move quadruples their manufacturing capacity for iPSC-based products.
Quadruples? That's not an incremental increase. Why such a huge jump?
Because they're not just thinking about their current research products, like the iCell portfolio. The facility is explicitly designed with scalable infrastructure to handle future contract manufacturing for clinical-grade cell therapies. They are positioning themselves to be the CDMO, the Contract Development and Manufacturing Organization, for the entire industry. They see the approvals in Japan and the clinical data from Vertex and are building the factory to meet the coming wave of demand.
So, for a European manufacturer in the biotech space, how should they view a massive new facility in Wisconsin? As a threat?
Both a threat and an opportunity. It's a competitive benchmark for scale that they must now match, but it's also a potential partner. If a European biotech has a promising iPSC therapy but lacks manufacturing capacity, FCDI in the U.S. is now a primary candidate for a partnership to scale up production for clinical trials and commercial launch. It also creates a huge pool for suppliers of automation, cleanroom technology, and logistics in the U.S. Midwest.
And what about distributors and sourcing managers?
This move solidifies FCDI as a key global node in iPSC supply chain. For distributors, securing a stable supply of their ISO products is now paramount. It also signals potential consolidation. With giants like Fujifilm making such large investments, smaller, specialized suppliers of cell lines or reagents could become prime acquisition targets.
What's the immediate action item here?
If you are a biotech firm, you should be evaluating Fujifilm as a potential manufacturing partner to de-risk your own pipeline. If you are a supplier of industrial automation or life science equipment, your sales team should be focused on these new large-scale facilities. They are the anchor tenants of this new industry.
Troy, these therapies are incredibly complex. You can have the best cells, but if you can't get them to the right place in the body, it doesn't matter. What's happening on the delivery side of the equation?
That is the critical bottleneck, Susie, and it's where we're seeing some of the most exciting innovation. The challenge, especially for gene editing like CRISPR, has been the size of the editing tool. Most CRISPR systems are too large to fit inside the preferred delivery vehicle, the adeno-associated virus, or AAV.
So it's like trying to ship a grand piano in a mailbox.
Exactly. But an NIH-funded team announced a breakthrough on April 13th. They've discovered and engineered an ultra-compact CRISPR system called AL3-Cas12F. It's small enough to be packaged efficiently into an AAV vector, which could unlock in vivo, or in the body, gene editing for a huge range of genetic disorders.
And how does this connect to another term we're hearing a lot about? LNPs?
LNVs, or lipid nanoparticles, are the other side of the delivery revolution. We all became familiar with them through the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. They are the microscopic bubbles of FET that protect and deliver the genetic payload. Now, companies like Toshiba in Japan are using AI to design next-generation LNPs that are biodegradable and can target specific cells. This is moving from a generic delivery truck to a smart guided missile.
This sounds like it could radically change the business model for something like cancer therapy.
It already is. Take CAR T therapy. The conventional process is ex vivo. You take a patient's cells out, engineer them in a lab, and reinfuse them. It's incredibly expensive and complex. The new race is for in vivo CAR T, where you use these advanced delivery systems to do the engineering directly inside the patient's body. Big Pharma is all in. AbbVie and Gilead are already in phase 1 trials, and Bristol Myers Squibb and Eli Lilly are actively acquiring biotechs with this technology.
How should U.S. and European manufacturers adapt to this shift toward in vivo delivery?
This creates an entirely new set of manufacturing requirements. The demand will be for industrial-scale, cGMP-grade production of AAV vectors and highly customized LNPs. Companies that master microfluidic mixing technology for creating uniform LNPs will have a significant competitive advantage. This is a high-tech components business.
What's the takeaway for trading firms and business development executives?
The intellectual property for these miniature CRISPR systems and targeted LNPs is now exceptionally valuable. Executives should be aggressively scouting for licensing opportunities. And with the M&A frenzy around in vivo CAR T, tracking the smaller biotech players with unique delivery platforms is critical. They are the next acquisition targets. The actionable insight is clear. Invest in or acquire a stake in next-generation delivery technology. It is the key that unlocks the entire in-body therapeutic market.
All right, Troy. A lot of ground covered this week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key takeaways our listeners should be discussing in their strategy meetings on Monday?
First, iPSC-based regenerative medicine has crossed the chasm from research to commercial reality, with the world's first product approvals in Japan in March 2026 and near-curative clinical results in the U.S., the wait-and-see strategy is no longer viable. This market is real, and it's happening now.
Second,
the industrialization of the supply chain is accelerating. Fujifilm's four-fold capacity expansion in Wisconsin is a clear market signal. The infrastructure is being built to support mass-market cell therapies. This presents a direct threat to companies that fail to scale and a massive opportunity for suppliers of automation and high-tech manufacturing equipment.
And the final takeaway?
The next competitive frontier is in vivo delivery, solving the delivery problem with technologies like miniature CRISPR systems and advanced lipid nanoparticles is the final piece of the puzzle for gene therapy. The intellectual property in this space is the most valuable asset in biotech today.
And the most important action item for executives?
Task a team to immediately assess your firm's role in this new regenerative medicine ecosystem. Are you a supplier, a partner, or a competitor? Concurrently, launch a technology scouting program focused specifically on in vivo delivery platforms. The winning companies of the next decade are placing their bets on these technologies today.
A new industrial revolution indeed. Troy, thank you for connecting the dots for us.
A pleasure, Susie. The pace of change is extraordinary, but the opportunities for those who are prepared are immense.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Join us again next week for more Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Thank you for listening.